This podcast is brought to you by Aviation Safety Magazine, the monthly journal of risk management and accident prevention.
Hello, this is Glenn Pugh reporting for avweb.com. Sky Manor is a little airport in western New Jersey, not unlike a lot of other little airports across the country. It has one runway, a restaurant, a mechanics hangar, and a beautifully pastoral setting, and a devoted group of pilots who keep their aircraft there. But one day not too long ago, it became apparent that the airport's future was in question. Today, we're talking to Don Kugler, a longtime airport tenant who has a new position to add to his resume. Aside from his day job, Don is now a managing member of Sky Manor Airport Partners, a company that owns and operates Sky Manor Airport profitably. And his story may be a blueprint for saving airports across the country. Don, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, good afternoon. Glad nice to be here with you.
So, Don, what happened? How did you go from a guy with a hangar on a little airport to a co-owner of that airport?
Well, you know, Glenn, like a lot of other airports around the country, us pilots spend a lot of time hangar flying. And we were sitting around one day, and it became apparent that the airport's future was in question, and that made us very uncomfortable. We weren't sure whether the airport was going to get lost to a development or to unfriendly owners or what. So we decided that we were going to step up and take action. And it's been a wonderfully friendly place. It's a place that a lot of us learned how to fly at. We kind of grew up around here, and we wanted to see that continue.
Well, acquiring the airport sounds like a very big thing. I mean, how do you begin with that?
Well, it is a big thing, and it took a fair amount of time. But looking back, it's really quite surprising how quickly we did pull it off. Basically, what we looked at was that the airport could be run profitably. We knew that we could do that, but we knew that we couldn't do it alone. There were six of us that got started in this project originally that kind of put the business plan together. And we knew that it was doable, but we also knew that we were going to need financial backing from others to really make this happen. The good news is that we have a very, very tight-knit community of pilots here at the airport, and we knew that we could probably reach out to them. In the end, that's what ended up happening. We reached out to people that we felt would be like-minded, who had a vested interest in seeing the airport continue as it was, and really that was the key to success here.
Well, how long did it take from concept to reality? How long does it take to go from, hey, that sounds like a good idea, to here's how we're going to get it done?
Well, it was surprisingly quick. We sat around one day and, gosh, I think probably within 2 weeks, we were reaching out to other people on the airport to kind of run this idea up the flagpole and see if anybody saluted. As it turned out, we had about 20 or so initial people beside ourselves who, in fact, were very interested in seeing this place survive. And we went to them with some proposals and formed a company, and in a matter of weeks, literally put the basic framework of this thing together. It was fairly quick, believe it or not.
Well, I'd imagine you didn't just sit down with a plan. You must have gone after some money, too. You can't get these things done without money. Did you literally walk up to 20 people and say, here's our plan, and we're going to need X amount of money to get this done?
You know, Glenn, we did. And I know that sounds funny, but that's not far from how it actually happened. We reached out to people who we, again, felt were like-minded, who really wanted to see this place survive. We reached out to people who we thought we could trust, and we reached out to people who, quite honestly, we thought had the financial, you know, wherewithal and ability to participate in something like this. It's certainly not an inexpensive venture to undertake, but when you spread that out among many people, it certainly becomes more tolerable. So that's essentially what we did.
Well, you mentioned to me when we spoke previously that people would have to put in an initial payment, but then the payments thereafter would be very close to what they were already paying for their hangars. Is that how it worked out?
It did. And, you know, really what it boiled down to was folks that really put their trust in us as a group of organizers. And we quite literally walked up to them, presented them a very, you know, superficial plan, because clearly all the I's weren't dotted and all the T's weren't crossed yet. And it was work in progress. But we kept them informed along the way and literally went to them and said, here's what we want to do. Here's what we think it's going to cost. Here's what we're going to need to get things kicked off. And on a handshake, these folks stepped up to the plate, and it wouldn't have happened without them.
And did you have to go back to them more than once for additional funds?
We did. As you can imagine, as this thing developed, we had a pretty solid plan going in. We had a pretty good understanding what the operating expenses were going to be and what the acquisition costs were going to be. But like anything else, things change over time, and certainly that wasn't any different in our case. And our plan was to go to the lending institution and then prove to them that we were serious, and that required having some funds available and deposited in their account. And then we had to go back one or two more times to our investor partner friends and ask them for additional funds as we got closer to acquisition. And I have to tell you, Glenn, of all the folks that started out with us, not a single one dropped out through the process. They stuck with us. And it's because of that that we were able to successfully pull this off.
Well, now, it took about 2 weeks for you guys to formulate the plan you mentioned. How long did it take to actually acquire the airport, and where are you now?
Well, we started negotiations in the June-July timeframe of last year and completed acquisition in November. So that that period of time between mid-year and Thanksgiving, shall we say, was really spent going back and forth and negotiating, doing all the due diligence. You know, a place like this can come with a lot of skeletons in the closet and a lot of things that you really don't know that you're getting until you get it. So it really took us the better part of the latter half of last year to complete all these things, to go through all the negotiations, and finally settle on an acquisition price and terms, and move forward. And we closed just around the Thanksgiving time, actually November 24th of 2008.
Was there ever any time when you sat there and looked at one another and said, you know what, I don't know that we can pull this off?
No, we absolutely didn't do that, Glenn. As a matter of fact, every time we were faced with a challenge that looked like it was going to set us back, we really never at any point went negative about it. We really looked at every challenge that came along and said, this isn't going to be a showstopper. How can we get around it? There wasn't anything that came along that we didn't think we couldn't work around.
Well, now, you've been in the airport business hands-on for about a year. How's it gone?
It's going great. You know, originally when we started to do the acquisition, we looked at the place and we said, you know, run properly, this place can be profitable, and it can be returned to the, as you said, picturesque, pristine place it once was. And I have to say that our model has worked. We've reached out to additional people on the field, and Glenn, right now, our ownership structure is one of akin to being shareholders in a corporation. In other words, what we've got here is we've got about half of the folks that are based here on the field are actually owners and have a position in this company.
Tell me some specifics about that. What are your goals, and how is that set up?
First of all, we wanted the owner members, shareholders, if you will, to have an active and participatory role as to how the airport was run. So by making them shareholders, they have a voting position and they get to elect the board, and they basically have a say in how the airport's run. The other thing that we wanted to do is we wanted to convey to them something of value, and we've done that by giving them the use of their hangar with their membership. And finally, the last thing that we wanted to build into the model was an exit strategy. People aren't going to be in aviation forever. I'd like to think I'm going to be, but the reality is eventually you get out. And we wanted to have a built-in exit strategy. So structuring it as a share, we gave the people the ability to sell that membership down the road. Those things were accomplished very nicely under this model. And we maintain an active flight school, both a helicopter and fixed-wing flight school, restaurant maintenance shop, hot air balloon operations. Those things, coupled with remaining hangar rents and fuel sales, we're a profitable operation. And the really good thing about this model that we put together is that we don't have a lot of management overhead. We're not running as a nonprofit. We're running as a profit-making company. But, you know, we only need to run it so it sustains itself. We don't have to make huge amounts of profit here.
Half of the people in the airport aren't part of this project, right? They're just tenants. Is life any different for them?
No, not at all. In fact, we've done so many improvements around here over the last year that the facility is better than it ever was. They still have the same hangars that they had before. They're better maintained than they were before. The facility is better looking than it has been for years. We just recently completed the resurfacing and paving of our runway, so we've got a brand new runway surface that's literally going to last us for many, many years to come. So Everybody who's here is a beneficiary of those improvements.
Is that runway resurfacing something you were able to do without incurring additional debt?
We incurred a small amount of personal debt, I guess I should say, company debt. But fortunately, the runway project was funded by state grant money. And we've been fortunate enough to be the recipient of state grant money here for other projects, and are very fortunate to be located in a state that is very supportive of its remaining public use airports.
Well, this might be a template that could work for other people at other airports.
I think it can be, Glenn. In fact, we've had a number of folks who have heard about us who have already reached out to us with interest, and I think it takes a community of people at the airport who have a passion for saving their airport and have a passion for seeing it survive. We see airports closing every day for various reasons, either because they're being encroached on by development or they're poorly managed or environmental reasons, could be just about anything. The people are key to making something like this work. We're very fortunate here to have a very committed group of people. I think that pilots in general share that kind of passion, and I think that this model could be replicated in other places and work successfully.
Well, SkyManner Airport Partners is a great story, and we thank you very much for sharing it with us, Don.
Thank you very much, Glenn. And if anyone's interested, we have a website that tells our story and tells a little bit about the airport, www.skymannerairport.com. I welcome people to visit us.
Hey, thanks for adding that, Don. Glenn Pugh for avweb.com. Thanks for listening.
This podcast has been brought to you by Aviation Safety Magazine. For more on aviation safety, log on to www.aviationsafetymagazine.com.